Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the Monday, March 27th, 2023 session of the University City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much to everyone in the audience and who is watching us. We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Councilmember Dennis Fuller to the City Council. We appreciate your years of dedication to our community and look forward to working with you as we continue to move our city forward. So, Dennis, nice to have you with us this evening. You have before you the agenda. I know that we've had a couple of folks who would like to move item number K1 from the consent agenda to the city manager's report. Is there a motion to move that item? Motion made by Mr. Clay. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you an amended agenda. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations. Before you, you have the minutes of February 27th, 2023. There needs to be a correction on page E113. The motion did not pass unanimously. It was 6-1 with Ms. Klein in the nay. So with that correction, it was not unanimous. Is there a motion to approve the corrected minutes? Motion made by Mr. Clay. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Let's see. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to nominate Peter Holness to the Historic Preservation Commission.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. I would like to appoint Mary D. Schmidt to the Senior Commission. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. And you will note that the record reflects that Mr. Fuller was sworn in on March 20th in the city clerk's office. We will now turn to our citizen participation section of the agenda. If there's anyone who would like to speak, there are sign-up sheets over by the door. When you get up to the microphone, please identify yourself with your address. Each speaker has 5 minutes to speak on either non-agenda items or then if on an agenda item when that item is called. Our first request to speak is Ms. Siri Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Siri Moran, trustee, agent of Ames Place, 6652 Kingsbury. For the second time in 3 weeks, last night, Sunday, Ames Place streets were used as the overflow public parking lot for the 560 Music Building. This time it was for the Emmanuel Axe concert it was sponsored by Wash U. At approximately 10 minutes of 7, cars started flowing south onto Kingsbury seeking parking spaces. Since the performance was scheduled to begin at 7, I am surmising that the Washington Garage was full and these were the unlucky latecomers. I shooed away multiple frustrated and angry drivers from parking in front of my and my neighbor's homes on the 6600 block of Kingsbury. Had I not played parking monitor for my block, no parking spaces would have been available for Ames Place residents and guests. In 2017, University City approved a site plan allowing for the construction of the Washington Avenue parking garage. The garage was planned and built in 2017 to 2018 to accommodate parking for events at the 560 Music Center in COCO. The garage provides 204 parking spaces. The 560 Music Building concert hall capacity alone is 1,092 seats. All of the cars looking for parking spaces last night averaged 2 or less occupants. The math doesn't add up. It is obvious that the garage is woefully inadequate for such events. We ask that the city actively advocate and help mitigate the adverse effects these institutions are placing on neighboring homeowners. It is unfair that we should bear the burden of irresponsible planning decisions, both in the past and potentially in the future. It was pointed out in 2017 at meeting after meeting that the planned garage capacity would not be sufficient from the start, let alone meet expected growth goals by either or both the institutions. Traffic studies presented at that time were skewed in favor of day-to-day usage, not bringing extraordinary events into play. These, quote, extraordinary events, unquote, are now happening weekly and affecting our quality of life. As a trustee of Ames Place, I ask that the city work with us to help not only solve the current overflow traffic into our neighborhood, but to work out how to prevent the same planning missteps from impacting again and again UCity neighborhoods as Washington University purchases ever more properties. I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there anything in the first set of council comments? Hearing none, there is no public hearing this evening. You have before you one agenda item on the consent agenda, item K2. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Mr. McMahon.
Maybe I missed it when I was reading it, but it looks like we're creating a new pass for or pricing for new memberships. What are we doing with existing memberships? Because by now, my understanding would be a lot of them would have lapsed, but are we still letting those people that had them that may have lapsed still use this? Because I think that's a good thing, because then we at least keep people coming. But I just wanted to clarify so that we know what we're doing on existing memberships.
Mayor Crow, Councilmember McMahon, the intention is for the new memberships to be basically at half price because the facility is not fully functioning. That would also apply to existing members. So anyone that has an existing membership would only be charged half price going forward until the facility is fully functional. Looking at Parks and Recreation Director Darren Dunkel. Is that?
Mayor Crow, members of council, Councilmember McMahon. What we have been doing is similar to what we had done during COVID. Those who were affected, those memberships that were active memberships, just were kept rolling over during those months that we were closed or partially open. This proposal by the Parks Commission is any new membership coming in would be paying these half price fees.
The ones that are rolling over. Can you use the microphone, please?
So the ones that are rolling over, do they continue to roll over? Because if I bought a pass for a year and it expires next month, do I still, then do I go under this program?
Yeah, the way that it has been is it's just been rolling over. And the recommendation that the Parks Commission made was for that to continue with this be the new rate for new memberships. However, if the council wants this to be applied towards the existing membership, that can be done as well. And I believe that's what Mr. Rose was referring
to. Just for clarification, the current members prior to the Parks Commission taking any action were using the facility for free. So we weren't doing any charges and we were simply rolling their membership over because it was not fully functional. I think for fairness, we will need to look at certainly charging them the same rate as what we charge everyone else.
Okay, but that's not what the proposal before us. I mean, I actually agree that it's fair, but I'm not sure that that's what the proposal says that we have in front of us. So I got three lights on, so I'm not sure who's wanting to speak. Darren, are you wanting to speak, or yours is on just for questions? All right, Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I was going to ask. I'm assuming there's more analysis that needs to be done based on the existing members, who's expired. Can we look at this particular issue now and give them some time to sort through and figure out what's needed on existing membership renewals.
Mayor Crail, Councilmember Hales, certainly we can continue to allow the same usage and only apply this to new members until we have a better understanding of the broader impacts that this type of structure might have.
Was there a discussion at the Parks Commission on existing members? I'm just curious.
My memory is that didn't come up. They were basically trying to come up with a fee structure for folks that were calling in and saying, I need a new membership, but I can't, and they had no option.
Okay.
And so this was to get them in the door. And I don't recall a specific discussion of, well, how would that balance out between the other people?
Mayor Crail, in part, I think it's an interpretation issue, because I believe that up under this new structure, everyone is a new member, because we currently don't have a half price. But if that interpretation is different than what was intended by the commission, then I'm certainly, willing to take a step back and evaluate it, and then return to the mayor and council with a future recommendation.
And that recommendation, just so we don't put ourselves in a box here, can we get that recommendation back pretty quickly? Since I assume that this is going, if you're having new people come in at half price, then we're gonna need an answer on the existing ones pretty quickly, is my guess. And by the way, I look at the faces of my colleagues. I don't think anyone has a predisposition one way or the other. I think we'll be pretty open-minded about it. It's just, I think we probably need to make sure that either the park commission staff come forward with a recommendation that we can all then explain to the citizens. So you have before you the consent agenda with one item on it that is a 50% reduction for new members. That motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Now move forward to city manager's report.
Mayor Crail, council members, this first item up under the city manager's report asks that you consider the transfer from general fund to solid waste fund of $1 million, and also the forgiveness of the remaining loan that was provided to the solid waste fund effective today, effective as of its passage. I have with me today Finance Director Keith Cole that will be presenting this item. Mr. Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Honorable Mayor and members of council. So the agenda before you, we are recommending the transfer of $1 million from the general fund to the solid waste fund, and to forego the interfund loan remaining balance of the $881,686. And then as of just a little background, as of February of 2023, the reason why we need this transfer is the solid waste fund expenditures have exceeded the revenues by $630,000 as of the end of February. And this is partially due to the necessary need to purchase two refuse trucks. One was due to the flood, and one was it was in the current year budget. And then the other piece of it is that we want to forego. So about a year ago, March 28th of 2022, council approved the interfund loan borrowing up of $1 million. And with this agenda, we'd like to forego that loan to help sustain the solid waste fund. And if you have further questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Prior to questions, can I have a motion on the floor? Motion to approve. Motion made by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crail. Mr. Cole, just a quick question, and that is that would the outstanding balance for our solid waste fund, would that apply in any way to this, or how does that affect you know, where do we, well, my question is, where do we stand with our outstanding balance, our outstanding funds that are bills that are not being paid?
So I have a few questions that were forwarded, and I'd be happy to answer some of the questions, and hopefully it'll answer some of your question.
Yeah, I just want to know, does that play any role in why we won't be able to pay this back? And it says that that we will not be able to pay back the general fund over the course of the loan, you know.
Right. So the current loan that we have out.
Right.
So with this, we just want to forego that loan. So this, the solid waste fund would not pay back the $881,000. So this loan is, it just kind of be a gift of $1 million, and the balance would be the $881,000. So this would be an addition to that first loan. And this would just be a transfer, and it would not be a loan. So the solid waste fund wouldn't pay back general fund.
But again, the question that I have is, where do we stand with our outstanding balances?
The, like the delinquent balances? Right.
Correct. Yes, sir.
So let's see. So our current outstanding delinquent balance is $1.2 million. And
that's money owed to us from residents and or businesses for trash services.
That is correct. Okay. And the annual expenses versus the annual revenues that we received. So in FY22, our revenues came in at $3,092,442, and our expenditures was $4,098,716. So at the end of fiscal year 22, we have a little over $1 million deficit. For FY23, our anticipated revenues is $3.172 million. And the actual revenues that we've received thus far is $1.8 million. And the to do a comparison of the delinquent outstanding trash bill. So in FY 2018, the outstanding delinquent bills was $1,088,000. And FY 2019, it was $1,082,000. In FY 2020, it was $1 million. And then FY 21, it was $995,000. And in this, in FY 22, it was $948,000. So slowly but surely, it's shrinking, but it's a challenge to try to get everybody to get current. And another question is, what's our policy regarding liens toward the delinquent trash bills? So currently, our policy is if the resident hasn't made payment within 3 billing cycles, then we put a lien on the property. And then we shut them off, we remove their trash carts, and then we send them to collections. And then we offer a payment arrangement that they can make on a monthly payments. So we offer them the minimum amount that we suggest is $40. But on, you know, some residents, it's a struggle. But we do, that's the minimum that we offer is $40. And then once they do start making payments, then there's a restore fee of $41. But then if they break that, you know, if they pay 3 months and then they stop making payment, then unfortunately we shut them off again. But that's, again, that's our current policy. And you know, we bill every 6 months. So let's, you know, if someone hasn't made payment, that's 18 months without payment. And And then there was another question about when the property owners, were they when they sell their house with delinquent bills. So the title company always reaches out to the finance department for any specials to see if there's any outstanding bills, whether it's refuse or if there's neighborhood improvement district bills. Then we fill out their form and we send it back. Lots of time, that's how we collect outstanding bills, is through when they sell a property, and we get it through the title company. And we don't, I mean, normally that's when the title company contacts us, that's our main focus, was to see if there's a refuse bill that's outstanding. And there's, you know, very minimal times that we would miss that payment, or, you know, miss that information, because that's what we geared toward, is to refuse. Let's see. And then, like I said previously, on the collection agency, we work with Valley Collection Agency currently, and the success rate on that, it's like less than 1%. When we get a few, I think over the last 2 years, we've received a little over $3,000. But it, like I said, it's pretty minimal. And, but if you have other questions, I'm happy to.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. A couple of questions. I know it's naive to believe we could ever get down to a point where everyone's paying in a timely manner, but compared to our municipal peers, like where do we seem to be? Because 900,000 is a significant percentage of the revenue that we look to gain from our solid waste program. So where do we compare to peers? Do we have any information on that? Are they struggling in the same way that we are, and to the same degree?
I don't have that data, but I could reach out to various municipalities.
I think that would just be interesting for us to understand what's, if there are municipalities who are doing this well, perhaps there's something we can learn from them in our efforts. Do you also have a sense of business versus resident? We have far more residents than businesses, so I know it is skewed in terms of number towards residents, clearly. But I'm curious that if there are a lot of businesses, or their amounts are larger, there might be greater opportunity there, but clearly I don't know the landscape. So if you could enlighten me on that.
Yes, their bill is much larger, but I don't have that breakdown, but I can get it.
Okay.
I can get that breakdown.
And the final question relates to the collection company we pay. Is their compensation purely a percentage of what they collect, or are we paying them something on top of that?
Their fee is 15% of what they collect.
Okay. And we don't pay them anything on top of that. Okay.
No, they reduce their collection, and then they reduce what they receive by 15%, and then they send us the net.
Okay. Yeah, that, okay. Well, I'm glad we're not paying anything. Does not seem to be particularly effective.
Correct.
Anything else? Any other questions? You have a motion before you that has been seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Mayor Curran, council members, this next item that was moved from the consent agenda asks for authorization to purchase or lease a gunshot detection device and surveillance equipment. I have Chief Hampton here to present this item. Chief Hampton.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of the council, Ms. Rose. I'm here to speak about any concerns, any issues, any questions you may have about this is a capital improvement project that was pre-approved for fiscal year 23. This is an expansion of our gunshot detection technology. It's a way more technical use of the form of the gunshot detection because it's integrated with surveillance cameras. And once that gunshot detection is activated, the cameras are activated automatically as well. This also will take us from the pilot program area of a quarter of a square mile up to a full mile radius. And this technology will be utilized in the statistical area where we receive the most calls for service, calls for incidents, for shots fired, and gunshot detection. So that is the basis of what it does. This is a different company. There was a startup company with a California West Coast-based company, the previous terms, V5. They're no longer in existence. There was an acquisition of their company. We chose not to go or pursue any use of technology or partnerships with that new company that acquired the company that we had the commitment to. So this is Flock. Flock is a up and starting company that has been making waves for probably the last 8 years. And they've been doing very well along with many of our partners around us. We currently have devices with them, but they're not on stationary poles. They're on mobile devices, on mobile transportable equipment. This particular program, this capital improvement project will now acquire and utilize the stationary objects. They have working contracts with the state of Missouri. They have working contracts with St. Louis County Transportation. They also have working contracts with Ameren. These are all the particular devices and stationary items that will be needed to utilize this program. I'll step back and wait for any questions.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. And thank you, Chief Hampton, for your presentation. V5 was different in that it did not have the camera array associated with the detection, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. It was never clear to me. And perhaps this was not me picking up on certain things that V5 was effective in doing what we needed it to do. In my non-law enforcement professional mind, when I think of public safety and look at the technology or other things that this council is asked to approve, I think of it in terms of either prevention or solving crimes, like either you're preventing a crime or solving a crime. I realize, again, that's non-law enforcement professional thinking, but it simplified and works for me. V5, it seems, would have fallen into the solving category, but I never really understood how it did so. Now, with the camera array, that does make a bit more sense. And so if I'm correct, a gunshot is detected. The apparatus that detects the gunshot could be here, let's say.
Correct.
You have a mile radius. You would have cameras placed within that mile radius, and the gunshot is detected. The cameras come on, so it could potentially detect whatever that gunshot activity was. Now, clearly the cameras need to be in the right place in order to actually catch the perpetrator. But that is how it would work. Is that correct?
That's very similar. It's a force multiplier. Technology is always a force multiplier for law enforcement, specifically even just gunshot detection companies that are out there. The one you most commonly hear is ShotSpotter. This is a fraction of the cost of ShotSpotter, and it does more integrated elements like the surveillance part of that. ShotSpotter does not have cameras that are integrated with it. You have to kind of configure and place within areas of interest your own surveillance. Same thing with the V5 systems that we had to utilize. Now, what's different about V5 to Flock to also ShotSpotter, I'll utilize those three as examples. ShotSpotter requires a power source. So specifically those hammering poles is of need and of interest for a large company of that apparatus like you speak of. However, these two companies that we have chose are all solar powered. So these are solar powered items. They're this the size of this hand sanitizer bottle is maybe at least 3/4 of the size of the device that it will be. So these are not expansive in size. They're not gigantic in visible nature, and they're very useful for law enforcement purposes. Limited police resources, with crime always on the rise anywhere in any particular given method, whether that's opportunists. Oftentimes, celebratory gunfire is fired from a car. Celebratory gunfire. I mean, that's because they utilize the most obvious technique to get away from the scene, as opposed to standing on the street and trying to run or walk or even go back into a home. It's from a car. So with that being said, now with the technique of utilizing surveillance to help combat that, it is a very opportunist time for us to take advantage of that. I'll give you an example. This program right here is asking for approximately 15 cameras to go in conjunction with the gunshot detection. I don't know specifically that Florissant has the gunshot detection, but they have over 30 plus cameras of this same company. And that's also because they have the nature of auto dealerships. They also have the need of those auto thefts and that crime detection, as well as solvability purposes as well.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Chief, very briefly, and I just simply wanted to say that I do appreciate that you're going with this company with cameras, because I think that that is an added factor that really helps more so than just having the shot finder system. But what I wanted to ask is, with these cameras, Do they activate each other? What I mean by that is, say, for instance, if you have a camera on Crest, but primarily would it activate, you would also need to have a camera on Ferguson or on Kingsland. Because again, the primary streets, and we don't have that many, but the primary streets, as you know, would be going, especially, well, I'll say both north and south, would be Sutter, Kingsland, Ferguson, Pennsylvania. So I would say primarily, do we have cameras that activate for those sites?
These triangulate using distributed devices. They focus on gunshots and anything close to a gunshot sounding sound. So specifically, yes, everything within the zone will activate. Now, our mobile devices that we previously had, they will not activate because of gunshot detection. Those are something that we're utilizing for other purposes. But specifically, this technology is very, that's one reason they don't sell their merchandise. It's also for the troubleshooting aspect of it. They come real time to get that corrected, back up and going. They don't want the downtime for the community. So specifically, that's why they lease. I mean, our partners, Clayton, Brentwood, Ladue, Overland, North County Co-op, I can name all of these different communities that have already invested in this company, not specifically this gunshot detection equipment. This is a next level. This is something they have been working on for probably 5+ years. We knew that they were working on this when we were dealing with the previous company, but it had not been completed, had not been finalized. And now it is, and we're ready to, and we're not the first community to invest in this as well.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one quick question related to downtime with these fixed units with solar panels. Is there any downtime? Are the batteries sufficient to keep the units operational 24 hours a day?
They are, and they can be remotely monitored by the company as well, so that they are sufficient in keeping the solar power. We know that now from the devices we currently have. We know that even for our speed radar trailers, you see those out there. Those are solar powered as well. So these are all devices that we're trying to maximize the power source that's available to us.
Thank you.
Mr. McMahon, I'm going to let everybody have a bite of the apple, then we'll come back to you, Mr. Clay. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Chief, for the presentation and the answers. So this is a two-year pilot program. Can you tell me how you would define success? So if you come back in 2 years after this program, what's the measure that, you know, if we're going to continue or not? How are you envisioning this is a success or not?
I believe, Councilmember McMahon, that the measures will be the solvability, also the practicality of what is it in good use for us? Has it been in good purposes for us? Has it been accurate with this detection? Has it been accurate in putting us in? Has it been effective in putting us into the area in the zone that we need to be in quickly, more quickly, as opposed to us just knowing that? Because like I say, I've repeated this before, that you can stand in Heedman Park and you can actually hear a gunshot sounded from the Holder Mount tracks. That gives you a more understanding of how much the gunshot sound can travel. So specifically, that leaves us clueless if we're just using our human ears. But specifically, maximizing with this technology is a great tool for us.
Mr. Fuller.
I'm naive here in terms of how this is monitored. Will this be monitored at a central location as well as perhaps the squad cars, or how does that work?
This is and is very it's very inclusive to our personnel. This is real time monitored. It goes to our mobile data terminals in the vehicles. It can also go to our cell phones. So specifically, an area that comes in specifically, gunshot is detected, sound of a gunshot is detected, a vehicle is leaving an area, white Kia, sense to our cell phone, whether it's a license plate or not. It's not giving us faces or anything. This is license plate technology. So specifically, that's what it's there to capture. That's what these devices, the Falcons and the Ravens, are there to capture.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you again, Mayor Crow. To follow up on my council ward colleague's point about ingress and egress and integration, does this camera array integrate with cameras we may have stationed elsewhere? So is there I don't know if communication is the right term, but an integration? And if not, are those cameras useful in addressing the points of egress and ingress? Because is my understanding, when we have these incidents, most times subjects are either heading north or east. They're not generally heading west or south when they're leaving the scene of where a shot has been fired. And so to do that, to Councilman Smotherson's point, there are only a few streets you can do that on. You know, Sutter, if you're going west, Kingsland, you know, all the way up. If we have surveillance along them, we have a better chance of actually catching them. So I know that's a lot of words. What I'm trying to figure out, cameras integrated, and do we have surveillance that can catch folks on those most likely avenues of egress?
For the first question, these do not integrate with the previous systems and any systems that we have. That's the patent of the company. They want to make sure that if you invest in this particular project, you have that patent for your particular zone that this can be as expensive as you want. If you want it for 6 square miles of the city, then it can be that, but it's pricey and it becomes cost non-effective at that point. But specifically, the egress and ingress the points of interest and exits is what we're concerned about. But we also look at the statistical data. The data, if it's not telling us that shots fired are being reported in this area, then there's no reason to have devices wasted for that 1 mile zone in that area. So specifically, we're going where the calls are detected, where we have visible evidence, where we have shell cases, where we have cases that are being worked as investigated or even solved, where we have property damage. You know, this is that is the real life evidence that we have. So specifically, just because this may be an area that may get you in and out of town quickly, that might not be the area that it would be best suited for. And this is something that we work with the professionals from Flock from, and it's something that we do and these are adjusted as well. I mean, if we feel that the mile radius can be adjusted, then we will work with that to be updated and enhanced.
And I see in the presentation it said 140,000. Is it, this is a budgeted item, and at that amount, or are we over budget?
It was 100,000 budgeted, but specifically the amount for the 2 year, it was 1 year for 70,000, the second year for 65. I can tell you these prices are going up in April. Now, specifically, that's one reason why we're trying to present it now as opposed to waiting for the price increase that are going around. And that's per device is going up.
Okay, but I'm just asking, is this a budgeted item? And if it is, how much over is it?
I believe it's about $40,000 over, as I understand it. And those overage would be a combination of salary savings from their particular budget, as well as funding from the public safety fund reserves.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions of the chief?
Mayor, if I'm not, I did want to highlight that I think each of you understand that's why we're asking for the pilot period, so that we can determine this company's effectiveness, as well as how we should have the system tailored. And if it is effective, based upon the percentages of arrest and so forth that occurs as a result of the system, then we'll be asking for expansion into other areas of the city.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Thank you, Chief. I believe we do not have a motion yet on this. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Clay. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there additional discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you unfinished business, Bill number 9510. Madam Clerk, may we have the second reading?
Bill 9510, an ordinance approving a final development plan for Lot 3 of Market at Olive, Plat 4. I'm sorry, Plat 3.
I thought it scared me there for a minute. May we have the third reading?
Bill 9510, an ordinance approving a final development plan for Lot 5 of Market at Olive, Plat 3.
You have the second and the third reading. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Fuller.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. The bill is passed. We have no new business. Are there any reports by members of council for any of the commissions for which they serve? Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. This is under other discussion business. I would like to ask of my colleagues, by consensus, to ask the city manager for an update from Mr. Holscher, the CEO of MSD. I have a couple of questions that I think we'd all probably like to hear updates on. One is the status of the storage tank. And the second one was, I was researching MSD in city council minutes about a week or two ago, and I found minutes from a meeting, I believe it was September of 2008. And Mr. Holscher, who at that point was MSD's director of engineering, now CEO, spoke to the council and said the minutes from that meeting reflect, quote, "Mr. Holscher said that MSD is responsible for cleaning out the debris and overgrowth of River De Pere." I think that's another central question that we've been dealing with for many, many years. And I appreciate that the city manager worked with the director of public works and the director of parks to get to MSD, and they apparently confirmed they have done that. I would like to know what their policy and maintenance schedule is for that work. And I think overall, it would be great to hear from them, because I think we've heard from just about every other agency across the state and federal government since the flood. So if that is okay with everyone.
I think the issue for us is whether you're like it be, I think they'd be more than happy to come and speak either during open session or a study session at any point in time. If that's Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just to add to that point, if the city manager would, I'd like to find out what's the status of Mona Lane, and how is that that street and the with the rocks that we've had to put in place along that street, how is that standing up right now? And I'd just like to get an update on that area around Mona Lane, if that's okay.
I believe the city manager took a note on that one, and we'll get back to you. Mine is a little bit more mundane. I believe we have a number of what I'll call smaller commissions that take very little time and effort, and some of the task force. And, you know, we have a rule in place that says we really don't want folks to serve on more than one commission. And I would like to change that to May, because we've got, to give you an example, if we have someone who now serves on the IDA, which is just for the markets at Olive, then they're only on for maybe two meetings, and they don't meet again for 4 years, yet they're not supposed to be on another commission. And I think we need to give ourselves a little bit more leeway, because we've got some folks who really would probably like to serve on more than one. And it's not like they want to serve on traffic and planning and park, because that takes too much time. But I think we need to tune that and give ourselves a little bit of discretion, because it's right now it's pretty arbitrary. And I'm hoping that either in April or May, we can come forward with a pretty easy one or two word amendment that would just make that a little bit more flexible. I don't believe we have any other requests to speak from our citizens. Are there any council comments for the evening? I'll make mine brief. I just have a couple of them, and I think many of you probably already know about this, but I do think it's always great to do a shout out to our fire department who participated in the Fight for Air climb, which was 40 floors and 856 stairs in full gear. So thank the crew for doing that for us. I also would like to add our congratulations to Dr. Sharonica Harden Bartley for getting the Pierce Award from the Missouri Association of School Administrators for Excellence in School Leadership. That was just announced this past couple of weeks. And I believe, since there's really very few of you in the room, I'm hoping whoever may be watching on the YouTube or whatever, that there's an election coming up on April the 4th for Proposition M and for school board. With that, is there a motion to adjourn? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.